Welcome to the G328 podcast from City Gospel Mission. We are a podcast for those who are working as reconcilers in ministries, churches, and communities. G328 comes from the Bible verse found in Galatians 3:28, which says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." This podcast is one of the ways we can help each other follow Jesus' teachings and turn away from bias, prejudice, racism, classism, and sexism. Hi, I'm the host, Kara Warden, and I'm with our guest today, Melanie Gomez. Melanie, would you mind sharing a little bit with us about who you are and what your background is?
Sure, and thank you so much, Kara, for having me today. It's a joy to be here. As said, my name is Melanie. I'm a mom of four, twin 8-year-olds, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, so it's quite a spread. Been married to my husband, Elliot, for 11 years. I'm from Northern Michigan, but I've been in Cincinnati for well over a decade now, so it's become our hand-picked hometown. My background is in social work with some experience in early childhood education. I actually started working with City Gospel Mission back in 2011 in homeless services and recovery, and was gone for about 2 years and then came back on board in 2017 to be a part of the current program I'm in now.
What's your title at CGM right now?
Director of Little Village.
And what all does that involve? What are the main responsibilities of that role?
Little Village is a purposeful play space designed for families 0 to age 5, but we actually don't have an age restriction. So we want families with ranges of children being able to come in. For me, the main part of my responsibilities is engaging those families, getting them registered and signed up and setting expectations for the play, but just really getting to build relationships with them, getting to connect them to other families and to resources throughout the community, especially for our littlest playmates to get, if we see anything going on with the family or anything that they have concerns about, being able to help them point in the right direction of how to help so that they can thrive through earliest years. Do a lot of partnership connection with agencies around Cincinnati and greater tri-state area to really be able to connect with, like I said, further resources and get to develop a lot of enrichment classes and options for our families that come and play, as well as just maintaining a safe and welcoming and fun environment. So pretty much a little of everything, a lot of everything.
This is a really unique program. You don't hear about a lot of programs like this. What made you think to start this?
Little Village is modeled after a program in Sweden, which I got to actually interact with when we lived abroad. And it was just a phenomenal place. You got to go in on your own accord with your children and just play with them. And play is essential for early childhood development. So often it's daunting for parents to try to find places that are safe, that are age appropriate, that fit within your time schedule. And that's if you have just those barriers, much less if you have any further barriers. So when encountering this program in Sweden, it really became an incredible place to connect for us as an immigrant family. It was also the only place you'd really see families from many different backgrounds in Sweden interacting, which I thought was amazing to watch. So when we came back to the States, my twins asked me, "Mama, where's our Apna for Schooling?" which is the name of their programs over there. And I said, "We don't have those here, baby." And they said, "Why? Why don't we have those?" That's a legitimate question, especially when we know that play relieves so much stress, promotes good development, and promotes a community around you when it's in kind of that communal setting. That's when we started looking at, okay, how can we really make this available? And who does it need to be made available to? Who in most need for having a place to play well and build a village around them, hence the name. And yeah, as far as I know, it's the only free nonprofit play space that's focused on reaching the families that need it the most with the least amount of access, at least in our region.
I think it's interesting you called out that you were in this different environment. You were an immigrant family in this place that then allowed you to have a really diverse experience. And so it really leans into this first season of diversity, inclusion, and equity in the workplace. Before we get into that with regards to your specific work that you do, can you tell us a little bit about how you see diversity, inclusion, and equity and what it means to you personally?
Absolutely. For me, as a Christian, it means striving to represent a picture of what worship will look like in heaven, mimicking that in God's kingdom. Our clearest picture of heaven always, always, always includes people of every tribe, every tongue, every people group, every nation giving praise back where it belongs, to Jesus. And that produces joy in us and our purpose for being here. We want to make that an intentional part of whatever we're doing, is seeing that picture being played out in how we do ministry. It ties back essentially to the gospel and our hope for Jesus restoring all things, primarily us to how we relate to God, but essentially and necessarily then how we relate then to each other, which shouldn't just look or feel or be one type of way of how people do life. But also for me personally, as been developing in ministry and being able to build this, has been just increasing in understanding of who we are serving and the ways we serve so that we can do it well. And again, so that that can point back to God and the wondrous things he's done for us. So.
It reminds me of when they ask what's the most important commandment, and mm-hmm. Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
So it ties it all together pretty well.
It does. And then, of course, going into, well, who is my neighbor, and trying to justify himself, goes into Jesus describing a story with the relationship being between people groups who normally would have totally avoided each other. The Good Samaritan is not an interaction they would have expected or have longed for or wanted. And so when the question is, who is my neighbor? And God says, that group that you're most uncomfortable around, that's where you can start. I think that that's a remarkable gospel story to be able to point to the importance of diversity and inclusion and equity and those things that we'll be talking about, or the heart of the gospel there.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you see over and over again in the Bible, Jesus interacting with people that
are outside,
whether it's a Samaritan woman or tax collectors or whomever. And not only does he interact with them, he has relationship with them.
Right. And that was what made him confounding to so many, was he used the wisdom of the small to shame the wise. So really have been growing an understanding of that. And it's becomes a core part of how you start building and analyzing and trying to maneuver in ministry. So, yeah.
What about as it relates to your work? So we'll look at diversity first. What are one or two ways that your experience with diversity has impacted your work with volunteers or participants?
Diversity and the subjects we'll continue to be talking about really relate to Little Village in just a remarkable way. As I mentioned, in Sweden, it was really one of the only places you would see the many different types of families in one place interacting with each other, as opposed to just being around each other. And that was at the heart of what we were hoping and wanting to see God do with this program, is create a confounding kingdom culture where families from a variety of backgrounds come to stay, all feel welcome, and that they are for each other and get to know each other and be enjoying each other's successes and being with each other's struggles. That's something that you don't see outside of the gospel, honestly. And so it requires a work of the Spirit within that ministry to do so, but it was and is at the heart of what we're wanting for Little Village. We are located in Westwood, which is one of the most diverse financially, ethnically, racially, for new families versus old families. It is just an incredible mix. It's also the biggest neighborhood in Cincinnati. So there's quite the range that we are hitting right within our immediate neighborhood. So we made our location very intentional in that value of diversity. And having a lot of this is continuing with that intentionality, making sure that our space represents many, again, we want many different families. So we want to make sure we're representing many different families in our dolls and our toys, posters, books, the songs that we're including. When there's families that come in who are from the same neighborhood like Westwood, where they may not have ever interacted with each other because there's still a lot of segmented areas, that we get to connect them, say, hey, your kids are the same age, or your kids obviously love the same things because they've been doing blocks together for the past 45 minutes. And making sure that those families get to know each other and actually connect beyond that, and watching those things grow as the families get to be together. So it's an essential part of what we do and what we continue to hope to grow in the diversity in our families and program.
I love that you call out diversity even in the games and the songs and the books, because a lot of people don't even consider that. It's just, what do you have available, or, you know, maybe even what's donated, being intentional about making sure that everybody who's coming is represented in the things that are available.
Yeah. And honestly, it was something that I had awareness of when I first started, but had several people speak into saying, by the way, you really need to be thinking about this and doing that, and helped with making sure we did have some and pointed out places where to get more. And it was great to have that spoken into what we were doing well, so we could start there as opposed to trying to build back up. And like I said, we certainly adjust and make sure we're still being intentional with things and increasing that awareness for what started with still being trained and knowing what I was looking for always needs more voices and more experience speaking into it. So that was really useful.
What about inclusion? What is a way that your experience with inclusion or the lack thereof impacted your work with volunteers or participants?
This was a Little Village's first season. It showed us what the rhythms really were, gave us really great insight into being intentional with inclusion as we continue. And we saw good things progress, but definitely want to see more success in this area in particular. What we saw was interesting. It was a distinct contrast for the times that families came from different backgrounds and different areas of the community. How they got their information was very different, and what kinds of resources that were needed were really, really different. So we've been evaluating a lot of that. We opened in September of last year, September 2019, and unfortunately had to close for public play in March. So we've only had this 6-month window, but we're digesting all of the things we learned from there. And in that time of looking through what we've been successful in or not, it's helping us hopefully be able to reevaluate and to do things that will allow for further inclusion as we reopen, hopefully in the fall. So looking at things like what hours we offer more of, we found a lot of families that had the option for someone to stay at home came in the morning. A lot of families that had just one child came in the morning, or two very young children came in the morning, but families with school agers or who had multiple children or who didn't have the option for someone to stay home, who came off of a first shift or were going into a second or third shift, came in the afternoon. And that included a lot of our families that needed further resources. The divide between resources, again, like I said, was pretty huge, where a lot of our families felt more stable in some areas. Other families were talking about jobs and housing, food security, and being able to get the right connections for their, wondering if their child was developing properly. There were a lot of questions about speech or about motor skills and things like that. So having those things on hand and knowing right away who we'd be able to point to meet the needs of those families. It wasn't always necessarily a family, like it wasn't an early childhood question a lot of times, but these things impact the family dramatically. So we want to build up our understanding of that so that when families walk in, they don't feel like they're the only ones here who have ever asked the question about, I just lost my job, where do I even begin? Or I'm being evicted, do you have any kind of idea of where we can get help? We will know that, and it won't feel like we have to go searching just for them. For our volunteers, oh, this has been really exciting. We've been blessed with volunteers, just a wide range of different people, different ages, different races, many different backgrounds who bring their own unique value and interactions to Little Village. And it's a remarkable thing to watch. And it's so important because our families then get to see people within Little Village intentionally who they can connect with, or someone who they haven't connected with previously, who now they get to develop a relationship with. It's a both and kind of quality that's really special and important to see. We hope to keep increasing this so that families, and especially adults and the littles, can see men and women, seniors who are retired, college age students, different races that are leading in the play, and all with that mindset of coming, that these people are here to come and support them, that they're for them and are there to bless them. So that it's not just for volunteers, they don't just keep seeing the same familiar place, but don't feel like it's a community effort to come around them, because our volunteers do get to reflect our community, which we're excited about.
Inclusivity often refers to creating a welcoming environment that people feel welcome into. It sounds like that's what you're describing, a program that adapts to the needs of the community and reflects that community so that they feel very welcome and comfortable coming there and sharing their needs with you.
Yeah, that's definitely our hope and priority is. And the one amazing thing is families come in, our average stay is about 2 hours. When families come, they come and they hang out for a while. We get to know the families that are coming through, and they come through repeatedly. We want them to know that they are not just welcome, but wanted, and that we want to see them over and over again. And that really lets us be able to, like you said, get to know the needs of the community and respond to them. And thankfully, even in just the 6 months, it's really given us a great indicator of how we can continue to improve to be what we want it to be for the communities, for their play and village. So
I feel like this leads us right into equity. So what are one or two steps that you take with participants, for example, or anyone else, to make sure that they have an equitable experience?
Yes. Again, equity was really high on the why we did this to begin with mentality. One of the things I've loved seeing is the increase in understanding of how important play is for proper development. With that, there's been this explosion of places to play and things to go and do and to do it in community. Unfortunately, almost all of those options are expensive, well outside the urban core, and just not accessible for a lot of our families. And certainly out of the question for the times that some of them run, even if it wasn't out of excluding them for the pricing. So one of the reasons we wanted to have this available in the urban core was because the families and the children that need play the most have the least amount of access. So that was already high on our prior list, is having an equitable childhood experience where everyone gets an opportunity to play and build their village around them in this spot. The children who need consistent playing community with the least amount of access also end up, by the time they're supposed to be starting school, are already behind. And their families don't have a foundation for what learning as a unit looks like. It's very much a divided mentality of learning happens in this place while home life is something else. And so to be able to cross over that and to have a place where learning and fun and play are all intermixed and happening together, we're hoping will address some of those inequities that have been happening for what children get to experience when they're young. But to include this idea within our program, we set first a very, very clear standard of respectfulness in action and speech for everyone who walks in the door. You want to see some of the most opinionated places on the internet. Go to a mom's page anywhere. We know they're going to have different parenting styles. We know their children are going to have different abilities. We know that they're going to interact in different culturally appropriate ways for what works for them. And so we've set that standard as soon as everyone walks in, that we are going to be respectful for each other, that this is a children's place, and we are going to make sure that our children get to be our focus here. So it's called our community commitment. We really use it to set kind of the norms of play so that everyone gets to walk in allowing for each other's diverse experiences, allowing for each other's diversity, and gets to know that that's all valued.
A lot of how we practice equity is by modeling equity within our staff, within our site leadership, and within our volunteers, and making sure that level of respect and equal treatment and that welcoming atmosphere is absolutely extended to everyone, not just assuming it's extended, but actually extending it to everyone. So for our volunteers, it means we spend a lot of our time training and watching our assumptions about a family that walks in, and discussing the differences in parenting styles, and not coming with what we feel is our best parenting style, but allowing for the parent to do that. We really trust that God has given those children to that parent. And our job is not to be the parent. It is to support the parent and the child in their learning. We also really talk to our volunteers and leaders about not offering unsolicited advice. Sounds so small, but it is such a big deal when dealing with parents, because your assumptions come out in what advice you give about where a family is. And as much as we do get to know our families, just throwing out there what we think they need to hear can oftentimes be much more emotionally hurtful and damaging than actually helpful. So always asking, like, if a family is expressing their struggle, if it's going to go beyond just empathy, then, and you feel like you have good advice, asking the family is, do you want some advice into this? Or I experienced something similar. Can I share that with you? And really hitting with our volunteers. If they say no, then you don't. They might not be ready to hear whatever it is yet. They might just need someone to listen. And listening's okay right now. That's how you build trust. And that's how you show that you respect where they are as a parent if they're not ready for that next step. You may disagree, but that's how you start with building into being able to share in that family's struggle and successes. So those are just some of the little steps we take to make sure that everyone is welcome and respected as a parent. It's so easy to see everything that's going wrong. We want families to walk into Little Village feeling like we're celebrating what they're doing right, and that we can always find something that is happening that you're doing well. So you're walking forward well, instead of just getting one more reason why you're doing it all wrong.
You know, reflective listening is a powerful tool, but so is the ability to stop yourself from giving advice and ask, can I share something with you? Because then it changes the whole dynamic versus just unsolicited advice and how it can create a lot of arguments or tension. Rather than judgment, it then becomes a place of relationship, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And we really emphasize that that is true across the board, whether it's a family that you understand why they're doing what they're doing, or whether it's a family that you're still learning more about them and trying to walk with them in their early years.
Is there anything else about you or the work that you do that you'd like to share with us before we wrap up?
I don't think I can overemphasize how important it is for the family being addressed in these early years. That being said, it makes things absolutely so much more messy because you're dealing with relationships on so many different levels than between child and parent, parent and child, parent and co-parent, or other caregivers who may be involved. So there is a lot of learning curve that comes with this. We've definitely been through a lot in this first season of learning, and honestly feeling the weight of what we've talked about equity, increasing in diversity, and making sure that and inclusion, making sure that those things we're being very intentional with. It's helped with understanding that it's a marathon mentality, that it is not something that is going to be solved overnight. Is something we have to keep pressing for, have to keep speaking into and saying, this is important to us and how do we continue to improve in it? And that it's a key part of how we're going to succeed in this in Little Village, is keeping the issues at the forefront and looking for ways to be humble and intentional and really ready to learn, not just for our families, but also from our families. And that will help us really succeed in coming around them and for them to be able to succeed in thriving in early, young, stressful, trying to figure it all out parenting years.
And I think you're calling out something really important that maybe a lot of people listening to this might not understand. As we talk about things like homeless services or recovery, what we are talking about are adults who are formed and who have advocacy and choice over their own life. They can be pretty directive with their life. What you're talking about is the importance of family, because family impacts a child. They're developing the child. They're influencing their growth. And so to have an impact on a youth long term, you must have a relationship with the family.
Yes, that sounds like a whole another podcast we could do. Yeah, that is exactly what Little Village has been showing in the past season, is especially for the earliest years, which the most development happens then, it is the greatest impact happens within the family unit, because that's what we're set up to learn in, and that's what we're set up to thrive in. And if we can come around those families to help them thrive, we can see that make a lifelong impact for our disadvantaged and struggling youth.
Well, I think we have a few podcasts in our future. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's been a joy.
All right. Well, we'll see you back here soon.
Thanks, Kira.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to the podcast to get the latest releases. And remember Micah 6:8, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. We'll meet you back here next time.